Thank you for tuning into Trevor Talks Podcast, where we talk to real people about real topics and real stories. Today, we have a super special guest with us. The girl is a prime definition of a boss. She is a YouTuber, social media influencer, speaker, podcast host, and all around a freaking amazing person. Today, we are speaking with none other than Miss Kirby Minnick. Kirby, welcome to Trevor Talks. How are you?
I'm so good. Thank you for having me. I'm pumped about this.
Look, me too. And like we were just discussing, this was supposed to take place last week. And on that day, I had like the craziest panic attacks and was just feeling sick all day long. Turns out I had the stomach bug too. So thank you for being so gracious about that. And I want to be open with my audience about this stuff just because everybody has their off days. Everybody has days that they need to take a mental health day. And it's really cool to know that there's people that do back the body of Christ like that, because your response was so golden. It was just like, that's what the body of Christ does. So thank you for being genuine in that sense. Welcome to the show. You have been busy during all of this coronavirus madness. Like, you spoke at the Heart of Dating conference. You've been staying consistent on all of your social media platforms, which if you're not following Kirby, you need to go follow her at Kirby as a Boss, all across the platforms, same username, freaking amazing content. And you also have an upcoming conference called Together 415. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. So this upcoming weekend, I believe it's the 25th. Is this Saturday?
The 25th is August. Next Tuesday.
Oh.
My birthday.
Maybe the 23rd. Who knows? But I believe it's this Saturday. It's going live. And it's a amazing, amazing lineup of just diverse women in ministry. And I think that's the coolest thing, is not seeing kind of like the typical thing that you see in churches and in conferences. Like, these are women of different ages, different races, different preaching styles. It's so cool to see them all come together and be given a platform, because we really don't see enough of that. And I'm very thankful to be a part of it. A bunch of my friends are a part of it. My friend Monica, our friend Nadia.
Yeah.
Just so many great people. But I'll be talking about identity and basically what it looks like to be confident in the truth of who God says you are, versus the lies that the enemy puts on you, and kind of just walking people through how they can almost retrain their brain and like put a filter on in order to identify the lies of the enemy so they can operate in truth instead. So I'm really excited about that.
That's awesome. I'm fired up just hearing about it. You had to have studied that. You graduated from Dallas Seminary. Correct?
Dallas Baptist University.
There we go. So
maybe one day I would love to go to seminary.
That is awesome. So you put together these messages, you get to speak at all these online events, and even before the pandemic, you were speaking in person, you traveled overseas to speak at a conference. You've been doing a lot. How do you stay this busy, and like mentally, how do you make it work for you?
That's a good question. I think it's just so funny how the Lord will bring opportunities, and it's like they'll hit all at once like a wave, and then I'll have this big period of just rest and preparation. And so it's, God just always makes a way. He always finds a way to come through with me balancing everything whenever it does fall on my plate. And I really do honestly pray, like, hey, Lord, like, don't put anything on my plate if you don't want it there. And so just every opportunity he's brought, it's been at the perfect time. A book that I read that really helped me kind of learn how to balance rest, along with, you know, what I'm called and commissioned to do, not just vocationally with like a job, but in ministry, is Jefferson Bethke's book, To Hell with the Hustle. And it really taught me how to prioritize rest, how to prioritize my relationship with God, because I think the illusion can be that when you're in ministry, your quiet time becomes your Bible study time. Sure. But like, there is that differentiation of like, this is God feeding me and like me getting my rest. But also it's like, okay, I have my time of like being faithful in studying so I can bring that about. So that's a book that really helped me. But I think just being in, you know, I went to Dallas Baptist University, majored in communications, minored in biblical studies. That being in a school setting really taught me how to manage my time, and also how to study the word when I have those designated periods of time. So my education really helped me in regards to all of that. But It's that, really just giving it to the Lord at the end of the day.
Sheesh. Mm-hmm. Already bringing power, man. have you read The Ruthless Elimination of Hustle by John Mark Comer? Or have you heard about
it? No, but everyone's talking about that, and I need to read it.
Look, him and Jefferson Bethke have a podcast together combining the two books. My friend Lacey sent me the link for the podcast last year when I was out on the road, because I have a huge issue with resting. I can't rest. Like, my body doesn't like the rest at all. So if I'm not sleeping, I'm not resting. So if I sleep for 12 hours in a day, that's my rest for the week. Like, and 12 hour sleep days are the bomb, except when I wake up and feel like crap, but it works. But their podcast together was so beneficial. And I'm actually listening to The Ruthless Elimination of Hustle, right now on Audible. And then I already bought, Jefferson Bethke's book to listen to next, because me sitting there reading is, we have a love hate relationship.
I feel that.
I can't focus on it, but those two books are amazing. I'm glad you brought that up. That's something I'm trying to eliminate in my life, is like, I feel like I've been focusing more on the hustle aspect of things, which with your brand, I'm sure you can relate with staying so busy, trying to keep your schedule packed, including during the pandemic, because you were speaking, you were doing a lot of stuff with a lot of different people. The pandemic kind of shut that down. And if I'm not mistaken, you just got an apartment. So you have all these bills and stuff that are starting to come. Yeah. And it's like, but the cool thing about it is we hear our parents and aunts and uncles talking about, oh, during 08, the recession almost wiped us all out. It's been really cool to see how many young people have A, been able to make it through the first recession of their life, and B, level up their businesses. Like, I haven't heard of that many people that didn't like scale up their businesses that are living through that hustle mentality. Now, some people, their line of work was completely wiped out. I was on tour marketing a movie, I Still Believe, and we were out on the road and COVID shut it down. Like, I'm talking, we went from Mercy Me put out a graphic on Instagram day four. We're not shutting down. We're going through it. The next day we get to Pensacola, wiped out the next day. So within 24 hours, my job was gone, which luckily God connected all the dots with that. And this pandemic has been such a blessing. Like, I needed this time to myself.
Yes.
To
reinvent. It's been a forced Sabbath for so many people.
Yeah. And like, I've been studying Shabbat and like Jewish holidays. I think it's really cool because I've got friends that they're not Jewish, but they celebrate Shabbat every single Friday. And that's just how they are, working with their kids to get into that time of rest. And I see the imagery that goes into that. And it's almost like, okay, it's exciting. Like, you have all your friends and family come over, you have a huge feast, and you just celebrate rest. You don't worry about work. You don't worry about anything except for Trevor. I got yelled at like 3 times and they took my phone from me because I kept answering emails. But it's like, we were all forced to rest, like you said. And I feel like families could have been restored during this time. Fathers and mothers that travel a lot got to spend time with their kids and their husbands or whatever in their life. We were all forced to sit down. So for you, as someone who is living alone, I'm assuming now, that had to be a really cool way to segue into that new step of adulthood. Cause you are you 22, 23?
I'm 23.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I turn 23 next week and I'm like, what is, thank you. I'm like, what the heck is going to happen when I'm 29, 30? Like, am I going to be exhausted or am I going to be doing something? Like, we may never know. But one thing that I want to dive in with you, with all that being said, you're walking in your relationship with Jesus on a public platform, which I don't know if you planned for it to be that way or if it kind of just happened, but you stay super busy. We've already gone through that. Where did everything start for you before you had Bought and Beloved podcast and Curvy as a Boss, before you had your own Instagram filters, which we're going to hit on because I've never seen anybody with that. Where did this, right? Where did all this start for you?
Yeah. I mean, to not spend too much time in my testimony or anything like that. I gave my life to Jesus when I was 13 or 14 years old. So just before I went to high school, it was that summer after eighth grade. And I mean, I always had a passion growing up for acting and entertaining and just creating. I loved to, I had all these ideas in my head and I wanted to just bring them to life and bring people joy. That was just something that I love to do and I still love to do. And I think just in that initial desire of creating and wanting to convey a message and bring people life and love and laughter and all those things, you know, God got a hold of my heart, and it was just so cool to see how he was able to then, I think, infiltrate my social media. So I got Instagram when it came out when I was in eighth grade. And, you know, at the time it was so simple, like social media influencer. None of that was really a thing. Like you had YouTubers, like that was a big thing in the early thousands, you know, Shane Dawson, Jenna Marbles, Miranda Sings, like all these people, Smosh, sure. Like all these people. And, like you would watch them and be like, oh, that's so fun. I want to do that. Not necessarily like, I want to be the influencer that they are. And I wanted to have a YouTube channel for the same reason they all had YouTube channels. And it was to create content, because sure. Like, how else was I going to, you know, get my name out there and potentially do what I wanted to do, which was acting. I guess, you know, fast forwarding, gave my life to Jesus. And as I was doing social media, I began doing that when I was in high school, putting out videos on YouTube, really posting on Instagram, started making friends in the community, and we started collaborating. I went to all the, you know, conventions and everything. I did the whole deal, and I was never not outspoken about my faith. People knew I was a Christian, but it wasn't until I think either the very end of my junior year or the beginning of my senior year where I really felt like the Lord was saying, hey, like, I want you to submit your channel to me and start making these videos. And it was hard for me. And I was like, I'm a big people pleaser. Like I still yeah. struggle with that today. Like literally even before hopping on this podcast, like, you know, just dealing with that, surrendering that to the Lord of God, like I live for you and only you. Like it's a big thing with social media of, you know, that balance of, well, here's the demand, but being a Christian on social media, it's like, okay, like, but I'm doing this for the one and to reach the one, that healthy balance of that. But I began putting out that Christian content. And I mean, that's where it all began. Like, yeah, I received the persecution, the insults, the spiritual warfare, like all of those things, the moment that I really started living boldly for Christ. But it was also at that moment that God really put his hand over everything. And I saw the demand. As much as I was getting all of the hate comments and the this and the that, I was getting, you know, the individual saying like, I've never heard this before, or, oh my gosh, I've been seeking this out my whole life, or I've never heard it explained this way, like in truth with context. And so that really projected me into what I do today. So social media was never intended on my standards to be like the ministry it is today. But like, it's so cool to see how God used an initial passion in me to launch something that I'm like, oh my gosh, like this is living, like preaching his word, like still putting out content and operating in the gifts and passions that I have, but with a purpose, like an actual purpose behind it. So that's the long story in short, even though it's still kind of long, but it's so cool to see what God did and what he's still doing.
Yeah. And it had to have been hard, especially with you already having a platform. We talked to
absolutely
Noah Heron a few weeks ago. The podcast with mm-hmm. him comes out after yours. So next week nice. For everyone listening, he was doing photography and video work for mm-hmm. Urban Outfitters. And
oh, nice. God, that explains a lot.
Yeah. So like he was doing all this really cool work. And then he had the same epiphany in his life where it was like God wanted him to step and start pursuing his faith, and he lost that contract. But, and then you have people like Chelsea Hurst who already had the platform on YouTube and then moved into making content for Jesus, and she saw a decline in views and followers, but she doesn't care. Like that conviction, the persecution from like people like exactly. There's mm-hmm. so many young people that are starting to see that light on their life, and God provided the platform. And I believe he had mm-hmm. that in store for you all along, which is really cool. But I absolutely. Believe there's so many people that are going to be listening to this and are mm-hmm. like, you know what? I'm struggling with that right now. I'm a people mm-hmm. pleaser. Like I want to post pictures on the beach and this and that and be a lifestyle mm-hmm. blogger, but God's calling me to something else. I'm too uncomfortable mm-hmm. to go out of that way. What would your mm-hmm. like position be for them, like in that season of their life? I'm struggling mm-hmm. with people pleasing. I do not want to give up my platform. What would your advice be to them to overcome that mindset and step into their calling in that way?
Dang. I mean, if I were speaking to myself, like with that mentality, because, you know, I really wrestled with that of, Lord, like I'm afraid to submit my YouTube channel to you, given I only had 3,000 subscribers at the time, which now doesn't seem like a lot, but still, that's a lot of people.
That's a lot. A whole sanctuary. Imagine 3,000 like, people in your room right now.
That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. It's a lot of people, especially when you're first growing and accumulating that. Like, the thousands, that's a huge milestone. I just remember really, really wrestling with God. And at the end of the day, like, I had to humble myself.
Sure.
Like, if you, an individual, you know, are a disciple of Christ, not just a Christian, because that's the thing to do or the, you know, the right way to live. But if you're a disciple of Christ, if you're really following after Jesus, we are called to die to ourselves. Mm. And that is hard. Like, I was reading about that this morning in Galatians 2:20, that we have been crucified with Christ so that it is he who lives in us now. Mm. And it is so tempting to want to do the trendy thing or the thing that we think will bring us joy or X, Y, and Z. I mean, analyze your motives as to why it is that you don't want to surrender and really weigh that in comparison to God's track record. Like, when we submit and surrender to God and obey, how much greater is the outcome than when we try to do it our own way or by the world's way, which is usually what it is at the end of the day that we're trying to submit to and conform to. But we're not Sure. called to live like that. We're called to live set apart. And it's in that set apartness, that holiness, that obedience to God that, you know, we experience the fullness of life, because that's what Jesus came to do. He came to give us the fullness of life, abundant life, whereas the enemy tries to steal, kill, and destroy. And with people pleasing, it's like, first of all, you know, you need to submit, surrender to God and be fearful of the Lord, like not afraid of him, but fearful in the sense of respecting and having reverence for who he is and who we are. Like, he is a good and loving and gracious father. But at the same time, it's like we are called to live this life now in him. And we need to recognize just how holy and who he is as God. But with people pleasing, again, who's your God at the end of the day? You either serve God or you serve man. Like, that's it. The world, you know, which is so fleeting. And in a story or an analogy that I like to say to anyone people pleasing, and again, preaching this to myself, is Jesus rode in on a donkey, right? Palm Sunday. And everyone was screaming, Hosanna. And then like 5 days later, they're all yelling, crucify him. So if you're trying to base your worth, whether it's on the praise of man or the persecution of man, if you're trying to place your worth in that, you are not going to be satisfied. It is so fickle. It is always changing. And you need to be rooted in who God says you are, who he is calling you to be, how he's calling you to live, because it's in that that you have consistent joy. It's in that you have consistent peace. It's in that you have consistent purpose, which is something I know we're all desiring to fulfill in our life. But it is in surrendering to the cross first and foremost. So it might be hard to not post those pictures you want to post or to shoot that content or to, you know, comment that you want to say or whatever it might be, whether it's social media or not. I know we all struggle with people pleasing yeah. to some regard, but whatever it is, like, you need to know who your God is and who it is that you are serving, who you're surrendered to. I mean, I would preach that at someone, like, you need to humble yourself. And that sounds hard. That sounds like, you know, a slap on the wrist, but yeah. genuinely, like, you are not going to have joy if you're trying to live by what you dictate will bring you all the things of your heart, because your heart is deceitful. I can yeah. tell you that straight up. Like, I mean, I could go off, but in short, like really
go
that,
off
that. Mm-hmm.
You can go off whenever you want. Like, come
I
on.
I will, because I'm preaching to myself. Like, I get that. I totally get that. But it's all about the mission at the end of the day and knowing where you came from. Like, God brought you and delivered you from so much. Like, you're entrusting him with your eternity. Like, entrust him with what he's calling you to do today. Like, you can trust him with today if you can trust him with forever. It shouldn't be that hard.
And you just said preaching to yourself. That's one thing I highly respect about you. It's like, when mm-hmm. I was studying for this interview, most of your content isn't necessarily, you need to do this, you need to do this. It's like, hey, I'm working mm-hmm. on this in my own life. Maybe this would be helpful for you. So it's almost mm-hmm. like God's giving you these revelations for yourself, and you know that there's millions of people out there that need to hear it. And with that being Absolutely. Said, like in this journey of like overcoming that people pleasing and shifting your platform mm-hmm. from more of a mainstream approach to specifically for Christ, I know there mm-hmm. had to be a season for you of overcoming shame, doubt, and even maybe even mental health. Mm-hmm. Does that sound like it would be an accurate position for you?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
How did you overcome that?
Well, each journey through, you know, shame, anxiety, depression, self-worth, all those things, they came at different seasons in my life. And some of them, you know, crossed over and I've experienced the same thing. But when I think about each of those specific emotions or, you know, mentalities or whatever you want to deem it as, those were very specific moments in my life. Like with depression, when my dad passed away, that was something that really struck me with depression. And following after that, I was bullied severely. So that was a really big thing of depression, a big season of depression. But overcoming that, God, it really was God. And I can only say that through relying on Him and having full faith in who God called me to be and what He says about me, I was able to overcome, you know, those depressing thoughts that really tried to sink me in and weigh me down. And because I think with depression, a lot of it is just, you know, lingering, at least for me, it was lingering on the woe is me mentality, or it'll never get better because it's always been this. It's really looking to the past and trying to bring that into the future. And it's like, no, like, God is so much ahead of you. Like, it's focusing on what the Lord is doing presently and will do. That was something that God really had to show me in those times. It was like, yeah, that's your past. And I know these things weigh you down, and it's okay to feel, you know, sad and to mourn and X, Y, and Z and all that. But, you know, I have given you victory, like, through my son. And I was saved around that time as well when I was going through depression. And He gave me joy because I realized the freedom that I had in Jesus. So it was freedom in Jesus that brought me joy. And that, I mean, that crushed that weight of depression that was trying to take me down. Like, I refused to sit in that any longer, and instead chose to worship, chose to praise God, chose to delight in the truths that He said instead. Now, with anxiety was something that really hit me when I was in college. A little bit throughout high school, a lot throughout high school, I just didn't realize it. But mainly through university was when I kind of identified in my life, oh my gosh, like, I am an anxious mess, like always worrying about the future. So depression causes you to focus so much on the past, whereas anxiety really causes you to freak out about the future. It's this what if, what if, what if. And I remember talking to someone super close in my life not that long ago about anxiety, which is something I still find myself getting caught up in, that mentality, because I so operated in that way for a long time without realizing it, is you're putting yourself through unnecessary trauma. You're allowing yourself to experience these things that aren't even happening. And it's like, it's in those moments that you really have to be still and again reflect on the truth of Christ. And the scripture that really helped me and is continuing to help me in overcoming those thoughts is Philippians 4:8, where it talks about, you know, dwell on what's true. Okay, so like, if we pause and we go through those things, dwell on what's true, dwell on what's lovely, dwell on what's commendable, dwell on what's pure, what's just, what is excellent, what is praiseworthy. And I think that's all of them. There might be one more that I missed, but if you go through and you dwell on all those things, it's like, I have no reason to fear. I have no reason to freak out. I have no reason to doubt that my God isn't here for me and that He's working and that He has me. So that helped me with anxiety and with shame. Without getting into too much detail, there was just a really big season of shame on my life where, you know, people betrayed my trust, and that really caused me to feel shame. I didn't feel like I was enough. I didn't feel like I had value. I felt like every decision that I had made, and even decisions that people had made that affected me, caused me to feel so low about myself, and I began to identify with the situations and with the sins that came alongside those situations. And it weighed me down. I mean, shame, the difference between guilt and shame is guilt is, oh, I did something wrong. Where shame is, oh my gosh, this is who I am. And again, the thing that caused me to overcome that was dwelling on the truth about who God says I am, that I am free, that I am forgiven, that I am loved, that I can forgive people, that I don't have to dwell on these things, that those things, although they have shaped me to who I am today, they don't define me, because it's Jesus who defines me. So this all sounds so easy and so elementary, I think. It's, you know, it's as simple as saying, just have faith. But, you know, when you're in the battle, it's like, oh my gosh, like, what does that even look like? What does that even mean? But it really is, you know, going to war with the simple truths of the gospel, because they're powerful. That's why it's simple. It all dwindles down to just knowing who God is, who he says you are, and knowing who the enemy is and what it is that he's really up to. If you can identify those three things in your life, and again, this is what I'm going to be preaching at the conference that's coming up soon, Together 415. If you can identify those three things in your life, and in the situation that you're in, I mean, that completely shifts your mind and the moves that you make going forward with whatever it is that you're dealing with. And that leads you to freedom, because there's freedom in Jesus.
That is so good. And when it comes down to it, one thing that really, really hits home is like overcoming shame, whether it's with dating or things you've done in your past, or overcoming like the things that grip you. Like when you go to sleep at night, if something keeps haunting you, like, I shouldn't have done that, and pondering on your past, especially when it comes to young women. I feel like when I get DMs from people like, I did something I shouldn't have done, I'm so guilty of just not listening to what God has for my life, and I'm shameful of that. When you were overcoming that shame, or if there's someone listening this that might be going through that season for themselves, where they're like, okay, I know Jesus, I know his truths for my life, but I'm struggling to get past this shame.
Yeah.
What would that look like if it were little Kirby that was going through that?
Oh my gosh, I could just cry thinking about that. I didn't feel like I was worthy of grace, you know, but
I've been there.
I mean, the fact of the matter is that I would say to anyone, like, if you're dealing with that place, like, you know, there is so much sufficient grace for you, and Jesus has that towards you. You can receive that. Like, it's unconditional. Like, that's the beauty of Jesus is, you know, we've messed up, we've done these things. Yeah, of course we're not worthy. Like, we're sinful, but at the end of the day, like, his grace outweighs that. Like, his grace covers that. His mercy, it's new every morning. Like, there is so much, there's so many attributes of Jesus that we can cling on to, that we can delight in. And grace is one of them. I think that's the biggest thing that I would say, is that if you're still wrestling with shame, whether, you know, you've done something or something's been done to you, or maybe you even feel shame in the little things, like, oh, I messed up this conversation, or I shouldn't have responded that way, and it haunts you forever. You have that conversation that haunts you forever. You can have grace with yourself. Like, the biggest thing that you can do is understand that situation, that circumstance, that little slip up, that doesn't define who you are today. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. And he loves you, and you are made in his image. And there's the enemy wants to trap you and ensnare you in shame. So you sit there, and you feel alone and isolated, and often at times exposed. I think that's the thing with shame, is that we fear this exposure of, oh my gosh, everyone sees me for who I am, and this is who I really am, and X, Y, Z. But if you have the strength to be vulnerable before God, because here's the thing, you know, back in the garden, it says that Adam and Eve, they were created and they knew no shame. Like, we were never meant to know shame. And when they sinned, their response was to hide from God. And God said, where are you? But it's in vulnerability. You know, he's calling us out in vulnerability. Hey, bring these things before me so I can cover you. What did he do while they were in their nakedness? Like, yeah, they were covered in fig leaves, but in their nakedness, God did the first bloodshed sacrifice, and he made them these things to clothe them, like loincloths to clothe them. And it's like, that's Jesus. Like, he was the sacrifice that clothes us from our shame. Like, we don't have to feel this exposure in our vulnerability before God, because he covers that. He covers that. And Jesus, like, the cross, that's all grace. That's all grace, baby. Like, whoever's hearing me today, that's the most beautiful thing in the entire world, that you get to delight in that today. And if you have a hard time being vulnerable before God or even with someone else, I encourage you to know that the enemy doesn't want you to be vulnerable, doesn't want you to feel like you're being exposed, because it's in that place that you are able to be more isolated, feel more isolated from God and especially your community. But it's in those places, in good godly community and before the Lord, that so much freedom happens. And I know that in my moments of shame, specifically one event that I know, I held on to that shame for so long, and nobody knew, and it was eating me up inside. I had no feeling of worth. I was overrun with anxiety and all the emotions that are, you know, very overwhelming. And it wasn't until, you know, I began confiding in people and a Christian counselor as well, that through that exposure, I was able to overcome that. Like, oh my gosh, like, because this is out in the open, and I can, you know, put God's truth on top of that and know that his grace covers that, I can move past this now. Like, it's not on me and chaining me down now. Like, I'm freed from that and I can walk from that now. So if you're living in shame, receive grace and don't be afraid to be vulnerable about it, because it's only when you bring it to the light that the darkness can be overcome that's weighing you down.
It's so wild to hear just everything that you just said. I remember last September, I was on tour with this girl named Lacey Sturm. She's a rock artist. She used to sing for a band called Flyleaf, like friggin' cool. Phenomenal. Like, but we were doing it was a summer festival or late fall, whatever September is. I'm not really sure right now, but I think it was like 5 minutes total. I was going on to talk about overcoming anxiety and depression and being that smiley face poster boy for everybody that's overcoming anxiety in their life. And mind you, 5 minutes till I'm supposed to be on stage, and it's the biggest festival we had. It was like 10,000 people or something. And I am a wreck. I'm in the bus, like bawling my eyes out. We're all praying, like, whatever demon took Trevor, like, we need him back, like, now.
We rebuke it.
Yeah. And I didn't know if I was going to be able to do it, but I did. God delivered me from it in prayer. And I was like, I had this epiphany, because 2 weeks before I was supposed to leave for that tour, which was my first tour back from me, like, I think it was 2016, I was speaking, I was on tour with Together 2016, which was like a national gathering on National Mall. So I was in high school touring for that, talking about it with people, just trying to rally people to the mall. And I had my first panic attack at Church of the Highlands in Birmingham, Alabama. And I didn't know what was wrong with me. I was supposed to speak at a university called Shorter University in Georgia the next day. Look, when I tell you I canceled my whole life when I had that first panic attack, I was like, I don't know what's wrong with me. So I canceled the event the day of. When I woke up the next morning, drove home. I was out of school for 2 weeks. I was a senior in high school at the time, and I deleted all my social media accounts. I said I was done. I didn't want to do ministry anymore. I did one more event that summer, which was in New Hampshire, Soulfest, and I'll never forget it. On the way back on the bus back to Georgia to go home, I was applying for jobs and got a job with AT&T, was able to purchase my house, was living that American dream, but I was depressed. I hated life. Yeah. I didn't want to be who I was. Like, money's not going to make you happy. Not even if you're 19 and have a house, it doesn't matter. So through all of that, we finally get that tour opportunity 2 weeks before my friend Jared took his life. So it was like, okay, I'd finally found that person that liked the same music as me, dressed like cool, was that person I could go to when I'm having panic attacks about things, because he understood, and then he was gone. So I went and took a sabbatical for like a week to get prepped for what was to come. And one thing that has kept me strong over like the past year is like, Jared had this amazing voice for mental health and was like a baller in that aspect. Like he could, I could listen to that dude for hours, still do sometimes. And it's like God laid a message on his heart, but for some reason there's not, I felt God tell me there's not going to be a gap in that voice for this generation. And that's why, like, when this pandemic hit, I was like, I need to start a podcast. I've wanted to do that. And I've always loved talking with people, interviewing. Mm-hmm. I've always looked up to Jimmy Fallon. Like, that's whenever people ask me what I want to do, I'm like, I want to be living for Christ as, like, living and working as I were doing something like Jimmy Fallon and Ryan Seacrest. Like, that's all up my alley. I love talking to people, love meeting new people. But when it comes down to it, like, I struggle with panic disorder, and that's something that I fight daily. Even today, like, I'm not afraid to admit, like, I take medication for it. God can use modern medicine to heal you of that. And one thing that's been going through my mind since the last tour, one lyric I would hear every night is, I know you're able, I know you can save through the fire with your mighty hand, but even if you don't, my hope is in you alone. And Bart from Mercy Me wrote that about his son, who has a health issue that like is uncurable specifically. And he's like, God, I know you're able, I know you can save through the fire with your mighty hand, but even if you don't, my hope is in you alone. So for me, panic disorder and seasonal depression, God, if you don't heal me, I'm still going to keep doing this. I'm still going to keep going. If I'm never off medication, like, okay, like we're going to keep walking through it. And a lot of times I hear guys and girls come up and they're like, I can't seem to get past this anxiety. And it's like, well, what is it from? And it's like, well, I'm afraid people are going to figure out that I watch pornography. And it's like, okay, and what else? And they're like, well, I've been sleeping with my boyfriend or girlfriend. Okay, what else? And it's like this ripple effect of people having this mentality that like, God died on the cross for my sins, so I'm just going to keep sinning, like, and have a party every day. Yeah, so like I had to reevaluate that for myself. It's like, okay, if I'm God's bought and beloved, what is next for me? How am I going to overcome this sin in my life? And in high school, I struggled with pornography. Like I was always that person that's like, I'm so ugly. Like I'm insecure. Like I'm never going to be able to date. Like in high school, like I was a hot mess. Like Trevor was like, so low self-esteem, and God's healed me from that, thankfully. But there's so many kids out there that need to hear that, because that vulnerability can save a life. I've been able to launch a clothing brand over the past year called Fear is a Liar. And it's specifically telling people that you are stronger than your symptoms. You're stronger than your anxiety. You're stronger than your depression. And there's this dude named Mario. He started a organization called Death to Life. And there's so many key aspects of it. But for the partnership that we have is like, I'm not your therapist. I'm not your pastor. If you're struggling with suicide, I don't want to send you to the suicide hotline or the crisis text line, because yes, they can diffuse the situation once or twice. And I'm not devaluing what they do. We need that. But what follow-up do we have in the kingdom of God for that? Yes. So that's where death to life.
Where's the renewing of the mind that happens within that?
Yeah. So that's where death to life and heart support and Anthem of Hope, Julie and Christian Wilson and Kaylee Housewright are doing such an amazing job with that. And they're the strongest people I know. I can hit a praise break, just what God's doing in their life with that ministry. And for me, sitting here knowing that like millions on millions of people are able to find their worth through Christ, through these organizations. That's why Fear is a Liar is a thing. Like, I'm not your therapist. We're not a nonprofit. Like, I'm specifically here to tell you you have worth and point you in the direction you need to have. We're your Google search for finding why you should keep living. And God's using that in such a powerful way. But with you, you've got this large platform and all these people, and I hate calling them followers or audiences. You've got this community of people that specifically come to you because you're vulnerable, because you don't candy coat things. You tell it how it is. You're not masking anything. I rarely find YouTubers or influencers or whatever you want to call them, people, beautiful people of Christ, that will mention hell. which you don't shy away from because it's real, it's there, and it's a very real place. So all that being said, what you're doing is making such a huge impact on people's lives, and you don't do it for yourself. Like, for you, like, I rarely see Kirby Minute. Like, I see your face and it says Kirby's a boss. Like, you're literally running off of a brand specifically because, like, and correct me if I'm wrong, it's not self-promotion. God's given you a message and a brand to pursue, and you're doing that so well, and God's using you for that. And the people that are listening, if you want to be a YouTuber or an Instagram influencer or whatever it is, it's not about numbers. I used to struggle with that so heavily. Like, I don't have that many followers and this many people are listening. Like,
we all
cares,
do.
Right? Like, it doesn't matter. Like, if this episode gets a million downloads or five downloads, like, I just imagine five people sitting in here or a million. Like, I would be so like crunched in. Like, we couldn't, I don't think it's physically possible. So, it's amazing to see how God's using this younger generation, you included. And I thank you so much for being who you are and being the light that God's called you to be. And the reason I wanted to have this conversation to close out is because it's not like a therapy session, obviously, but there's so many influencers and people that bring light that don't get that return to them. So it's almost like I could pour all this water into this mug and it can overflow, or somebody can keep drinking it. Where's the water for Kirby? Where's the water for Julie Wilson? Where's the water for the Hearst? Like, the people that are providing the content to help you not escape reality, but overcome the obstacles in your life, we need that too. And you need that too. Yeah. And that's why I wanted to tell you all of that. It's like, and whoever's listening to this, take that for you as well. God hasn't created us to be anything other than ourselves. And that's one thing I've learned over the past week. Like, last week I'm sitting there like on the floor in my best friend Steven's office, like praying, like, God, heal me of this. God, heal me of this. Yeah. I hate feeling nauseous. I hate puking. And yeah, I'm going to get vulnerable with you guys. Sometimes when anxiety and depression is attacking you, it involves like physical sickness. And we have people that are there to talk. And if you're listening to this and you need that person, please, please, please don't wait. Go to D2L.com or death to life, death, the number two, life.com. Somebody wants to talk with you. Suicide is not the answer. Depression is not going to make you a happy person if you don't go through with it. Like, God can heal you, and there's people there that want to talk with you. Kirby wants to provide content for you and understand. Absolutely. Don't put your value in who you are. Don't put your identity into influencers, because if you DM someone and they don't respond and you're like, God, if you want me to live, this person's going to DM me back. That is so unfair. And I don't know where that came from. Apparently God wants somebody to hear it. Don't DM Stephen Furtick expecting a reply to save your life. You got to trust in God first. God's going to provide the healing for you.
Amen. What does his word say? Like, go to that first.
Yeah. So I know that was a lot, but you provide so much value on so many people's lives, and I'm super thankful for you. The reason I wanted you on here was just to share your story and just be you. Like, I heard you talk about shame with the Heart of Dating conference, and it was phenomenal. And if you guys haven't heard it, y'all need to go look that up. But there's so many different things.
Yeah, the link is still in my Instagram bio. So if anyone wants to see that.
Yeah, so y'all go check that out. But before we call it a day, if someone out there is struggling, like, and I don't even know what it would be with, maybe God's told you that, if somebody's struggling today, what would your message of hope be for them?
Oof. What would my message of hope be for anyone struggling? My message of hope, it again sounds so cliche, but I mean, Jesus paid it all. Like, there's this one, I believe it's in 2 Corinthians 4. I could be wrong. Y'all go read your Bibles and fact check me on that. But there's a scripture that talks about, right? I mean, like, anything to get people reading the word, come on. But there's this one scripture where Paul's talking and he says, you know, but like, this is a light momentary affliction that I'm going through right now for an eternal weight of glory. And I think we can get so fixated on the moment and what we're going through and what we're in, not to, you know, devalue what we're going through or what you might be suffering through or struggling through. But we have to remember that this is just a moment, that this is just a blip, you know, Ecclesiastes, life is a vapor. It's boom. You know, if you're in a season or going through something and it just feels so overwhelming and you feel super hopeless and you feel overcome by shame or depression or anxiety or not feeling like you have any worth or, you know, like someone betrayed you or this or that, I don't know what you're going through and what you're suffering through, but understand that this is a moment, again, not to devalue it, and God is so much bigger and his plans for you are so much greater. They're to give you a hope and a future and to prosper you and to prosper the gospel above all else. I mean, it's that saving grace that gives you joy and peace and patience and all the things of the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. When you have Jesus, you have all of that and more. So hold on and cling to Jesus. You know, not just praying that prayer and knowing, okay, God, you're there, but dive deep, wage war on the things that are trying to fight against you because you have a specific message and testimony and an experience in you that is able to bring others to Christ. You have to receive that first. You have to receive that first. And that comes through receiving grace. It comes through receiving forgiveness. And what precedes that is repentance and coming before the Lord. So come before the Lord. You know, repent if you need to repent, surrender if you need to surrender, pour out if you need to pour out, and let God pour in because he can do exceedingly and abundantly more in you. And again, it's a light momentary affliction for an eternal weight of glory that far outweighs anything that we are suffering through today. So cling on to hope, cling on to grace, and cling on to truth because those are the only things that are, you know, going to satisfy you and get you through to the end of the day.
I love that so much. And ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kirby Minnick from Kirby is a Boss. You can follow her on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, wherever social media platforms are. I'm sure you can look up Kirby is a Boss and find her. Also, look out for her podcast, Bought and Beloved, wherever you stream your podcasts. And Kirby, again, it's been such a pleasure to have you on the show. Can't wait to hopefully have you back. And we will
thank you for having me. Seriously, yes. And thank you for encouraging me. I needed that, for real. Thank you.
Always, always. And we will talk to you guys next week.
Bye.
Often we believe our questions mean we don't have faith, but I believe Jesus loves our questions. Our questions are windows into heaven. I'm Caden Fabrizio, and on the Questions with Caden podcast, we ask and answer one question per episode as relevantly and biblically as possible. Questions about fear, anxiety, depression, addiction, and so much more. Don't worry, your questions, they're not going to scare Jesus. So ask away. Listen and subscribe now at lifeaudio.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.